Well, good morning, everybody, once again. So good to have you with us. I see you watching online. We're just getting set up and striking the set here and making sure we're ready to roll. Well, I'm excited about this next series. We're going to be talking about great expectations. And I don't know about you, but this is certainly a season where we are expecting much. We're expecting a lift of restrictions. We're expecting to see a vaccine, many kinds of those things, maybe expecting that first big hug. Well, there is something, though, I want to share with you about expectations, because all of us have probably experienced at one time or another that season where you had great expectations and they just didn't turn out the way you planned. And so this picture here is from 2005, and it's a long line of traffic, and that's happening just outside of Golden, BC. And so we were traveling, we had a family vacation planned. We didn't get very many of them at that time in our lives. The kids were little, four small boys, and you know, just trying to make ends meet and those kind of things. So this was a real special time that we would get to do this road trip, going from Surrey to Calgary area. We were going to do West Edmonton Mall and some fun things like that with the kids. Here is another picture of that same place just a few moments later. Now, the reason it looks so empty there is because that's the moment in time on that trip when our engine blew in the van on our way for our holidays. Certainly not what we expected. So we were quite a bit away from any kind of help or whatever, but somebody stopped to get a tow truck for us and that kind of thing. We ended up staying overnight at a hotel in Golden, and we were so thankful. We had friends and family who helped us out with that. And then as well, we brought our van to a certain automotive shop in the town who had a connection with where Ed was working at the time, and we were actually able to have a vehicle to complete our holidays while they fixed our van, at no small expense, of course. So certainly not what we were expecting. Well, I want to take a look this morning at a very familiar part of scripture, and that is the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. The Israelites had a very similar experience where they had great expectations. They were told by Moses, you're going to be entering the promised land. You're going to be freed from captivity. And it took a while for that to happen. You may remember the story that all of the things they expected didn't plan out the way they may have pictured those things in their heads. Scripture says they made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks. So this is the Egyptians, as the Israelites are in slavery, making their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in their demands. So this is what the Israelites knew. They knew a life in captivity. They knew a life in slavery. And as Moses came in and made these promises and said, God is the I am, you're going to be freed from slavery, their experiences instead turned to even increased slavery. And then in Exodus 2:23, it says, years passed and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help and their cry rose up to the Lord. And so again, these expectations, and we've seen this story unfold, and this is a graphic that popped up on my Facebook page this week, which I quite like. So it shows the journey from Egypt to the promised land on GPS, 9 hours, 5 minutes by car, 6 days on foot. And if you're familiar with this story, you know that the Israelites ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So what they expected was freedom. They expected this land flowing with milk and honey. But what they got instead, everything promised wasn't in their view. Instead, they got more slavery, increased tasks, increased work. Exodus 5:19 to 21. The Israelite foremen could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, You must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. And the foreman said to them, "May the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands as an excuse to kill us." So first of all, you have this increase in their workload, back-breaking work, and they're thinking, this is what freedom's going to look like. We were expecting to just go from here to there. Then we have the 10 plagues. So these plagues did not affect the Israelites, and yet they were there in the midst of all of them, and this waiting period towards freedom grew and grew. Then finally, they're led out of Egypt and going, yes, we're on our way to the land of milk and honey. And instead, they find themselves being chased by the Egyptian armies, confronted by a huge body of water. What are they going to do? Certainly not what they expected. Certainly not what they thought freedom was going to look like. So now we know that this story ends in a very wonderful way, where the Egyptians are chasing them. They end up at the Red Sea. We know that God parts the waters. They walk through on dry land. They are now free. They are now free of the Egyptian bondage. They are now free from slavery. And so they take this time to worship. But shortly after that, how do they respond? Well, first of all, they respond with grumbling and complaining. As we continue through the book of Exodus, we see that happening. Next, they respond with a lack of trust. They begin to say, well, we need more manna than what God is telling us to take, because what if we don't get provided for tomorrow? They send spies into the land of Canaan, and 10 of them come back and say, the giants are too big. We cannot overcome them. Next of all, we see idolatry. So these people released from captivity, getting what they hoped for, dreamed for, prayed for, and these are some of their responses. We also get rebellion against the leadership, against Moses' leadership, and there's the rebellion of Korah. And then there's sin in the camp as Moab seduces Israel. So all of these things are taking place after they get what they were longing for, after they're in freedom. But you know what? All of this was new territory for them. If we consider for a moment, there are parallels between what the Israelites experienced and what we experience now. Now, we're certainly not in a position of slavery, but we are not living life as we knew it 4 to 6 weeks ago. This is a life under restriction. Our lives before this may have looked rich and busy, lacking for nothing, full of visits and connection, or maybe our lives looked busy, detached, fighting tooth and nail to stay afloat, or lonely. But the bottom line is, we have an expectation of our own promised land of sorts. We have this expectation of the empty shelves in our stores being filled again. We have this expectation of secure employment once again. We have this expectation of hugging and socializing freely, of traveling abroad, of meeting together with no restrictions on the size of the group or having to distance ourselves from one another. Really, we have this expectation of our lives going back to this pre-COVID status. But church, I want to remind us today that what we expect could be very different than what plays out for us. But in all of this, regardless of what happens, what's most important here is our response. And so how are we going to respond when our new normal begins to unfold? And I believe we have the potential to repeat some of the same errors that the Israelites made. We have the potential to lean into idolatry and just that busyness that overtakes our relationship with the Lord. We have the possibility of grumbling and complaining still, even when our situation changes, of being lackadaisical about sin and how to respond to it when it's in our lives or in the church, the possibility of complaining about leadership, of forgetting what the Lord has done, and having a lack of faith or trust. The thing is, for the Israelites, during that first year of their freedom, much of their time was in the wilderness learning how to be in relationship with God and with one another in a new way. And I have this sense that in this current season, whether you call it slavery or whether you call it the wilderness, that God has things he wants to teach us about being in relationship with him and being in relationship with each other. And if we're willing to learn and to press into these things, we can avoid some of the pitfalls that the Israelites faced. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And this is true. Our spirit man is made new. We are connected in a relationship with Jesus when we acknowledge him as Lord and ask him to forgive our sins. We are heirs of all his promises. But this is also true in Philippians 2:12 to 13. It says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So though our spirit man's been changed, we still have our mind, our emotions, and our will that need to be conformed to the Lord daily. And that's why it says, work out your salvation with deep reverence and fear. And church, in this season, we need to learn a new way of relating to each other and to God. And this will be a good thing. This is not a negative thing. How many of you have done something, I know I have, just in the past few weeks, where it's like, why wasn't I already doing that? That's such a good thing to be doing. How did I get so far adrift that that was no longer a part of my life? And this is a great question, but with no action or no plan, the truth is we will simply drift back into what we did or how we did things before if we don't set and purpose ourselves to say, I'm going to learn something new in this season. And my question to you is, have we learned everything there is to know about doing relationship with the Lord and doing relationship with each other? And I don't believe that we have. And so we have this wonderful opportunity set before us, a season where we can learn like never before as we're confronting some of these new challenges, so that we can come out of this season changed and we can enter a new season where we're not swayed by all the temptations that exist and we're not getting caught in some of the same pitfalls that the Egyptians did when they, or sorry, that the Israelites did when they walked into greater freedom. So how do we do this? Oh, wrong button. There we go. How do we do this? One of the ways is we do this by confirming that Jesus is the center in every area of our lives. And the center is such a precise thing. And if you're watching this on a screen and you can see this right now, I know this is likely driving some of you crazy, the fact that that little flower bed is not in the middle of the circle. But when something is off center, it has a great impact. I think of eyewear. Ed got a pair of glasses one time where they hadn't quite adjusted them well. And you know, when you're looking in a certain way, it's throwing your center of balance off. I think of handlebars on a bike. Last year I had my handlebars twisted a bit. And so you were constantly having to correct to allow for that off-centeredness. Or a wheel alignment on your car. Or even jelly donuts. I don't know, I've been highly disappointed eating a jelly donut only to find out what's supposed to be in the center is sort of leaking off to one side and partly out of the donut. And there's really not much to be had in there. Having Jesus at the center is such a precise thing to keep the balance that we need in our lives. So here's a few questions for you today as we bring our service to a close. How do we know if things are off center. What is the diagnostic for this? One is a lack of enthusiasm. If things in your life have become rote or routine, if you're finding that there's no life or energy in them, another indicator could be struggling in our relationships with others. Maybe it's an increased irritability or impatience with people. Maybe it's finding yourself with unrealistic expectations of how others should behave or respond in relationships. Another is feeling like nothing matters anymore. Or who do you turn to when you're stressed? That can be a great indicator for whether or not Jesus is at the center or whether we've experienced some drift off course and are in danger of ending up in some of those same pitfalls that the Israelites did. Who do you turn to when you're stressed, or what do you turn to? Another is withdrawal. So when we start to pull back from life or people or ministry, that can be an indicator. And lastly, the justification of sinful or harmful behavior, where we say, you know what, it's just a little thing, or, you know, I've seen other people do that, or does it really matter? It begins to indicate the state of our heart and that some things need to be brought back into the center and alignment with Jesus. Another way we do this, of course, or how we actually move forward to identifying those things is, of course, we come to the Lord. Psalm 19, 12 to 13 says, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin." I don't know if you can hear some of the sounds in our house in the background, but yeah, our ice maker just did a whole kind of routine there. It's like the loudest ice maker ever. So welcome to our home. It's so good to have you here with us. Another scripture, Psalm 139, 23 to 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends me and lead me along the path of everlasting life." We have an opportunity this season to have God teach us new things about being in relationship with Him and being in relationship with each other. And in doing so, we'll avoid many of those pitfalls that the Israelites faced. Would you, church, do that this season? Would you press in with me and say to the Lord, take us to the next step, take us to the next place in our relationship, and let us grow closer to you. So we have a couple listening prayer questions for you to dig into this week in your time with the Lord. One of them is, God, what is one thing you want to teach about being in relationship with you? And then secondly, what is one thing you want to teach me about being in relationship with others? And don't worry about writing those down. We will post these on our website later under the sermon section. And you'll find that under the notes, we'll just have a list of today's scripture references and these questions there to have available for you. But let's take some time and ask the Lord these questions, because I believe each and every one of us has the potential for growth and has the potential to move forward even while everything else is standing still. My prayer for us is that we would be, as Psalm 1 says, like trees planted by streams of living water that will bear fruit in season. And in these coming weeks, we're going to dig into some of those areas that the Israelites struggled with one by one. And we're going to look at what is God wanting to teach us about those things, and where did the Israelites go wrong in those areas, and how can we guard against those same things as we anticipate our own freedom in a greater capacity. Well, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray? So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that you have placed us uniquely in this season. I think of the book of Esther where it says, "For such a time as this." God, it is no accident that all of us find ourselves here. God, you have purpose in all of this, and you will bring good out of all of this, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, Lord God, about what it means to be in relationship with you and with others as a new season in our life unfolds. Lord, I pray that you would teach us about what it means to be called by you and who we're called to in this season and as this new season unfolds. Lord, that you would open up doors that didn't exist before. And God, we would willingly walk through them without hesitation. Lord, we also pray for those who may be watching that don't yet have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would bring hope and faith in their hearts during this season. Lord, I pray that you would answer unanswered questions. Lord, that you would remove barriers of maybe disappointment or distrust, Lord God, and that people would be able to see you for who you really are. In your name, amen. Well, if you've been watching with us and you've not made a decision to follow the Lord and have a relationship with him, that opportunity exists anytime, anywhere, whether you're watching with us or you're not. The truth is that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we might be forgiven from our sins. He was raised from the dead and promises us an eternity in heaven with him. All we need to do is believe in our hearts that this is true, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, and scripture says we will be saved. If that's something you'd like to pray today, or if that's something you've prayed and you would like to share with us, do jump on our website and send us an email, or jump on our Facebook page and send us a private message. We'd love to chat further with you. Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Just a reminder that if you want to FaceTime a little, have some connection, that you can jump into the Zoom call once the service is done. There's a meeting ID there on the screen. There is a password required. If you need that, do contact us on Facebook private message, on our public page, New Life Foursquare Church in Cranbrook, and we'll make sure you get that. Talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us today, and blessings on your afternoon.